I was reading some scriptures and doing some thinking, watching the situation going on around. I'm a pretty practical kind of a person. You know, I think the Bible's practical and you ought to be able to take it out and live with it. And in Matthew 6:33, the Bible is one of the great... I remember Blackie Riley was our pastor for a while. Blackie's a great guy. And his daddy, Edwin Riley, I remember one time him telling me that he told Blackie, after Blackie had surrendered to preach, he said, "Daddy, have you got any advice for me?" He said, "My advice to you is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's pretty good advice, amen? I want everybody to look at that verse real good this morning. I want you to look at it personally. I don't want you to look at it as something we're just doing as a church here today or doing our little duty going through Scripture. I want you to look at that Scripture. And I want you to read it. I want every daddy in here to read it to your family right now. Out loud. Just read it to your family. If your family's sitting by, best you can, just kind of listen to your daddy and let him read it to you. All right, now I want us to look at verse number 34 in connection with that. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I do not believe that God wants our lives weighted down with worry, fretting, anxiety, tore up, just shook up, fearful. I don't believe that's the way God speaks. I don't believe we can have a testimony that way. And I'll tell you, I have a tendency to be real sensitive about financial matters. To worry, to be concerned. And there's a balance to that because I think there's a God-given thing put in a man, a father and a husband. I tell you what, we should always have the concern that we take care of our families. Amen? There's nothing wrong with having a legitimate concern to take care of your families. So whatever you do, don't lose that. But on the other hand, there comes a point in time in life, and men, I don't know, I sometimes wonder if women understand the subtle pressures on men about providing and the competitive spirit that there is in providing for your family and the pressures and the temptations that can come from it. What I want to talk to you today is about finances. Last week I understood, if you can believe the news, that 85,000 manufacturing jobs were lost across America. That's a lot of men, or ladies, whatever it may be the case. But it tells me a lot of children's parents are without work. Now, there's nothing new about economic cycles. And there's not going to be no utopia this side of heaven. We're in a depraved world, a sin-cursed world, and as long as there's sin-cursed men running around, well, we're going to have some problems. And I want you to know something else. And I don't have a note. I've got a few things I'm going to read out of this. I'm going to suggest something to you again this morning. This is the men's manual number 2 that we've had here for years from the Institute of Basic Life Principles. I would highly encourage you that if you've not been through this, that you get through it. Go over there and get you one. It won't cost you a dime. The church will pay for it. All we ask you to do is read it. Try to inculcate it into your life. If you've already got one, dig it out. I think it'd be a great time to be reading it and studying it and really looking at it real hard. Now, also, just in the last day or so, there's a possibility, they say, that within 7 months, there'll be 850,000 homes foreclosed on in the United States. That's a lot of homes. That's a lot of lives. And I will say this to you, that I believe God is going to allow this country to be judged for its sinfulness and for its wickedness. And I don't think there's no escaping that, no doubt about it. But the question is, what do we do as Christians in the middle of a situation like we're in? Now, to be honest about it, it seems like that in the political realm, one political entity hopes for the downfall of the economics so they can get in power. And then, you know, it's kind of swaps around. Everybody hopes for bad because they know people vote a lot on the economics. It's evident very clearly right now that the current administration was so totally off focus with passing their liberal agenda that they let the economic situation I mean, if they would have even act like they cared, the American people probably wouldn't have had the attitude they've had. But it's just being laser focused on liberal policies that has turned American people off of them. But I don't care who's in office, who's not in office, stuff like that, in the sense of that we have a Bible that can guide us in our lives. And I want to really bear down on this thing. Now, let me tell you something. I despise the Mormon faith. I despise it because it's such a trap. It's such a trap. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in salvation by grace. They've added to the Word of God, and it's a mess. But let me tell you something the devil knows. The devil knows that if he can take biblical principles and put it into a cult, as far as their daily living, he can impress people with it and draw people with that. And one thing the Mormons have done, the Mormons have concentrated on their families being very stable financially. Not saying that they all are. They're not saying that. And being prepared for rainy days and so forth like that. Now, I'm going to say to you tonight, I'm not interested in knowing anybody's personal financial condition in this church. I have no interest. That is not my business. But I'm talking to you this morning at large as a church, as a congregation, and then pray that the Holy Spirit will take whatever we say and encourage you with, and that you'll do some things that will help you along the trail. Now, I know this, that God allows us to go through cycles of wealth and poverty. How many's ever had some really good times? Raise your hand. Everything's going pretty good. How many's had some tough times? Everything fell apart. Raise your hand. All right, that's part of life, and you need to understand that. And God allows it. Now, God has brought a lot of people to repentance by financial things. God has brought a lot of Christians back to Himself by financial pressures. Money is very, very dangerous, and wealth is very, very dangerous, and it can lead you away from God, make you complacent, make you self-sufficient, make you independent, think you don't need God, and you drift away from God by it. So God has purpose in that. But at the same time, God is not necessarily against money. God is against the misuse of money and making money when we make money an idol. Now, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, we looked at verse 33 and verse 34. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, watch this interesting statement. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the inordinate, unscriptural pursuit of wealth and money and possessions to the loss of a fellowship with God. And God says, you can't serve me and serve money. You can't serve me and serve a pursuit to be wealthy or to get your security out of money. I want to ask some questions. This is out of page 54 on this, and I just thought this was a really neat set of questions. And it says, to what extent do you have a love of money? Number one, when you need an item, is your first thought to buy it or to pray for it? When you need an item, and let's talk about some real crucial and down-to-earth issues here. And what I'm going to challenge you to do today by the Word of God is to learn to be content with such things as you have, learn to live by your means, and learn to make some moves if you need to get yourself on solid footing and to get that pressure and the damage that that pressure can do to your marriage, your home, and your family, and to your own mind off. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I want God's sheep happy. I want God's sheep content. I want God's sheep in good shape. Now, there's things that happen to us we can't. Now, watch, let me sit you carefully. Job, far as I know, didn't do nothing wrong. Being in financial trouble does not mean that you've necessarily sinned or done something terribly wrong. Let's get that down, all right? Being financially well off doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritual either. I don't understand all about the ways of God and the ways of monetary things. And I'm telling you, listen to me, I don't have a message outline. I didn't do a bunch of stuff. This is 10, 15 minutes before I come to church. Just like God said, you talk to that congregation about the times that they're in and about how they need to turn to me and turn to the Word of God for the answers and the comfort and the strength and what they need in these times. Now, it says here, when you need an item, is it your first thought to buy it rather than to pray for it? I want to encourage the church today, don't be buying things you don't need. Don't be buying things you don't really need. Learn to live with less. Okay? Don't be buying things just to make yourself feel like, well, I deserve it. Now, what do we deserve? Good land living. And I just want to encourage you, if we want to help ourselves, let's be careful what we're buying. Think about it before you make that purchase. Do I really need this? Is this going to put pressure on our family? Should I pay bills rather than buy this? Pray about it before you make these purchases. I would encourage you, even in your grocery shopping, if you're tight financially, right, think about what you're buying. I'm telling you something, brown beans and potatoes is good and they're cheap, amen? And cornbread, and think about, if you're not careful, you go in there and spend a third to a half more than you need to spend on groceries buying, putting in the oven stuff, pre-prepared foods. You say, well, this ain't your business. Well, yeah, it is. I'm your pastor, and the Word of God talks about being careful and so forth and being content and so forth, and I'm here to help you. I ain't here to beat on nobody this morning. I'm telling you, I love you, and I want you happy in the Lord, and I want whatever. I don't know what God said, but I tell you what, when I read this week that we may be facing 850,000 foreclosures next year, that these are already homes and properties that the government has ordered the banks not to foreclose on until they've had a chance to restructure, but it doesn't look like they're going to get it done. Buddy, you're talking about, we can see, and I hope it doesn't happen. I'm not doomsdaying. I'm just saying, if this thing really turns south and sour, we better get ourselves positioned to ride the storm out. Are you listening to me? This is just good, stable, it's horse sense, stable thinking. Y'all got that one, didn't you? Stable thinking. All right. It hits you after a while, didn't it? Stable thinking, horse sense. All right. So I want to encourage you, be careful about what you're buying. You know, we have a tendency to think, especially be careful about anything that you can get financed. Just because you can get it financed does not mean you need to buy it. Might mean you ought not buy it. Some guys were telling me this week, it's amazing the kind of car or vehicle you can buy for $500 to $1,000 right now. I don't know whether that's true or not. Some guys told me that. They said, Red, you'd be shocked what you can buy for $500 to $1,000 cash. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, somebody said, well, you wouldn't hardly get home. Maybe it won't. I don't know. The other part about it is sometimes you need, but if you're in a work that you need a vehicle or a truck or whatever, and it's got to perform, and you've got to be able to haul or whatever it is, that's, you know, sometimes that's a different deal. But what I'm generally saying is that I want this congregation, if I'm your pastor and I'm trying to help you, and the Word of God's trying to help you, I want you to be careful what you're buying. You may think, well, I'm doing great right now, but what about for that rainy day? What about for that time when you're not? What about those unexpected expenses that you may be getting incurred that you don't even think about? They don't have any ideas coming down the road to you. Number two, would you consider a person successful if he were not wealthy? Ask yourself that question. Do I consider people successful if they're not wealthy? Sure, there's a lot of successful people that aren't wealthy. Let me tell you something. A wealthy man can be very unsuccessful. Being wealthy doesn't mean you're successful at all. And you may be here today and you're not very wealthy, but you're very successful. Let me tell you something. If you're keeping your marriage together and your children love God and you have a wonderful home and a peaceful home and you're pretty successful, amen? That's pretty successful in this day and time. And so don't let a redefinition of success wreck your life and make you discontent. Number three, are you expecting money to give you peace of mind or security or happiness? You see, this is why he said, don't serve mammon instead of serving me. Money will never make you secure. Never will. It's a false security because you can lose it just like that. It'll take wings and fly away and be gone. Let me give you an illustration. Right now, banks are very, very not inclined to loan to people, even though they have a lot of assets. I talked to a man here recently who probably has over $1 million in land paid for. He went to get a loan to increase some facilities and build some facilities on his farm. And because he could not prove a cash flow, they would not loan it to him. And you know what he told me? He says, Reggie, they probably did me a favor. Because he said, I probably wouldn't be able to cash flow this thing. Just because you've got assets don't mean you need to go borrow against them and hedge them and put them on leverage and maybe lose them. But if you're expecting money to make you secure, your security and your peace is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you need to get there. Your peace, your security, your rest is in Jesus Christ. Be sure you understand that. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Number four, do you find it more excitement in making money than you do in learning truths from the Scripture? That's a tough one, isn't it? Do you get more excitement from earning money or making money than you do from learning wisdom and truths from God's Word and applying it to your life? If you do, that may indicate that you're serving mammon rather than God. Do you allow the cares of riches to choke out a daily time with God's Word? Well, this is one of the things that happens to us. We get burdened down by financial pressures and financial obligations, and we don't even have time for God, for the Word of God, for prayer, our family, church. All we can think about is, I have to work, I go, to work, I go, to pay for what I owe. Number six, have you ever compromised an ethical standard in order not to lose a job or financial gain? Have you ever compromised? Are you being pressured to compromise what you know is right to keep your job or to make money? Just be honest with you, just this week I walked into a home and guys think about having an auction. And pray for me about this. It's not easy. You don't want to offend people, you know. You really don't. And you want to try to be a testimony to them and so forth without offending them. But, man, we looked at all this stuff and pretty soon he said, oh, I said, I forgot to show you the goodies. He said, come back here. And we walked back to the shop and here's this room blocked off. And he opens up the door and walks in and it's a wine room. And he makes his own wine. And he had rows of wine up here. He said, I want to sell all that wine up here. I said, sorry, I can't do that. I said, ain't nobody in this country getting nothing for it anyway. I said, they wind up busting the bottles. I said, I ain't going to sell that stuff for you. You know what? I mean, you hate to, because, you know, you hate to say, and he just kind of, oh, okay, you know. But you know what? We got to watch out, because there's two times in my life I can remember I wished I'd have had it to do over again in some auctions I did. One was at an auction. It was a bad, bad deal. It was actually a sheriff's deal, and they had confiscated all this stuff. And I didn't even know it till I got there, but there was a whole bunch of pornographic stuff over there in the stack. If I had that to do over again, I would never sell that. I would just said, I ain't selling it, walked on by it. But I just went down through there selling it. You know what I mean? He just kind of like, well, what are you going to do? Get him stopped here and make a big speech? This is a bunch of pornography, you know? It just piled a bunch of stuff there. But a guy told me, he said, raise all kind of pornographic stuff. And I should have said, I ain't selling that, walk on. And another time was a guy had a bunch of decanters. Is that what you call them? Decanters? Is that what they are that holds whiskey?
Yeah.
Okay. And he had these, anyway, he collected them. And he had this big collection of decanters, and it had whiskey in it. I think the boys remember it. They said, man, you pop off the top of them things, get drunk in the air, if you could get drunk on the air, you know. And I shouldn't have sold those. I sold them as decanters. I remember we poured out a lot of liquor, but I still shouldn't have sold them. And sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to be pressured to compromise convictions and making money on something that we should have stayed away from. And I don't know what your situation is. Donnie mentioned about lying. Let me tell you, one of the greatest temptations about lying is when it comes to making money. If it's going to cost you, man, I guarantee you that the devil will tempt you to lie right there about as fast as anywhere if it's going to cost you financially. So don't compromise ethical standards. Think about this one. In the last 5 years, have you sacrificed a friendship over arguments about money? I see this a lot in estates and in families and inheritance and brothers and sisters busted up over who's going to get the money and who's going to get the possessions. Number eight, are you content with your present salary? God said having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with such things as you have. I want to encourage the congregation this morning. Again, I don't know why I'm doing this other than just God told me to do it. I want to encourage you today, be content with what you have. Don't look at anybody's vehicle out there in this driveway and wish you had it. Don't look at anybody's nothing. You be happy with what God has given you and be so grateful. And Donnie mentioned that today. We're just not grateful. I tell you what, folks, we just don't know how blessed we are. And I want our focus, you know, we can be a happy people in the midst of this. Let me tell you something. If we see a great big economic collapse, let me tell you, the greatest time for Christians to shine that you've ever lived in your lifetime is going to be right then. If they can see contentment and joy and happiness in the midst of all that junk, I'll tell you what it's going to tell. It's going to draw them to Jesus Christ, okay? Are you content with your present salary? Number nine, do you look forward to retirement more than you look forward to the return of Jesus Christ? You look more forward to retirement than you do the return of Jesus Christ. Number ten, do you still carry bitterness about financial losses? Boy, I tell you, that's one I've had to fight. If I had the money people's cheated me out of this morning, it'd be amazing. If I had the money that people have swindled or cheated or lied or, you know, maneuvered around, and I tell you what, it's hard not to be bitter to people that just maliciously, intendedly, crooked you and hooked you. It's hard not to be bitter, but we got to get over it. Got to forgive them. God forgave us of our sins. We got to forgive them. But that bitterness, what it tells us is that money meant, it meant a lot to us, and God's trying to teach us that our security is not in that money. Our security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 11, when you're with friends, do you talk about financial matters more than spiritual matters? What dominates the conversation that you have with people? Number 12, do you pray before every meal? even when lost people are present. Number 13, do you have convictions against selling such things as liquor, cigarettes, and pornography? We just discussed that. Number 14, do you spend more time each week listening to or reading the news than you do reading the Bible? That's a pretty powerful question. Now remember, our verse was Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What the question we need to ask ourselves today is this: am I truly seeking the Lord Jesus Christ first and His righteousness? Because if we're not, we can't expect the promise of that verse to be dealt with in our life. If I'm not seeking Him first, I have no expectation that all these things, these needful things of life, will be added. Are you more concerned about giving your children a financial heritage than you are a godly spiritual heritage? Next question, would your family say that your job is more important to you than they are? Number 17, do you have a secret desire to be rich? That's how swindlers make their money. Swindlers know something, that down in the heart of most people, they have a secret desire to be rich, and they don't care what church you go to. They know it's in there. Unless it's been purged by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a secret desire to be rich. And they play off of that, and so they present these schemes to help you accomplish that secret desire, and they get you. Have you ever given sacrificially for you a large sum to the cause of Christ? You know, ask yourself that. And the reason I said, have you ever given sacrificially a large sum for you? Because the widow gave two mites, and God said that she gave more than all of them. She gave according to what she had, not according to what she didn't have. You see, giving is not measured by how much you gave, but how much you have left after you've given. Tithing is a command. Offerings is a sacrifice. And the Bible clearly teaches. And I had a man tell me here just not too long ago. Now listen to me. And I don't even think the man's saved. But he's very rich. You know what he told me? He was walking across the way. He said, most people just don't get it, Reggie. He said, they're trying to keep everything they make rather than give it to people. He said, if you give, you get. He said, people are too tight to get a blessing. And I want to encourage you. Learn to give sacrificially. Give, and it shall be given unto you. This is just literally in the economy of God. God says you don't help yourself by doing this. You help yourself by doing this. Do you intend to limit your friends to those who are wealthy and influential? Do you have a tendency to gravitate towards someone that you think has money because you think you might get some of it or it might rub off on you? You better watch that one. And number 20, have you ever dedicated all of your possessions to God? Everything you have and yourself too. Have you ever dedicated everything that you have to God? Now, here's what I want to say to us this morning. And I pray to God I'm not boring you. I pray to God that you didn't come. You thought, boy, I want one of them. This is what I really believe God had for us today. I don't know, again, how everybody is financially. I know we've had our tough times and our good times. But here's what I want to say to you. Number one, don't be buying things that you don't need. Number two, do an honest assessment of your assets and your liability. Sit down and calculate. And do an honest assessment. If you're sitting down doing an assessment of your assets and your liabilities, don't say that your car is worth $20,000 or $10,000 if it's worth $2,000. Don't do that. You're just deceiving yourself. You're not helping yourself by being dishonest. In fact, I would encourage you to figure a little less than you might think for. You say, why do this? Because you need to get honest in your heart where you're really at. Until you get honest where you're really at, I'm telling you something, you'll sink deeper and deeper and deeper. You'll get into a denial. Do an honest assessment of your assets and liabilities. Then through prayer and through the Word of God and through wise counsel, determine what you should do. And you say, Reggie, what do you mean determine what you should do? There are times in life when you're on a dead horse. Are you listening to me? Dead horses don't travel anywhere. Get off of them. Elijah was by a brook, folks, that God had sent him to. But God dried that brook up. Elijah didn't sit there and whine and moan. He said, you know what? I believe God's moving me. I believe God's changing direction in my life. And he was. And he would have never went to the widow. And he would have never experienced that power and that glory of God's provision had he not said, hey, it's time to move on with this situation. There are some things that people ride financially that are dead horses. They're not going to get better. Now, what? But wait a minute. There are times when you need to stick it out. There are times when you need don't run. Don't get scared. If you know you're in the will of God, if you know you've done everything you can, put it in God's hand and leave it there. I remember, and I've said this before, I'll tell you again. 1985, I thought I was going to lose that farm. I could not make my payment. And I literally called the lender and said, I can't do it. I don't have the money and I don't foresee it coming. And they restructured the loan and said, Reggie, let's don't do this. Just restructure the loan. Let's see if things change a little bit. And amazingly, within 3 years, not only did I was making my payments, I paid the place off. Things totally changed for me. And I don't know what God has in mind for your life, but I'm saying there's a time to liquidate, to get off of a dead horse, and there's a time to stick it out. I can't tell you what that is for you. You're going to have to determine that through prayer, through the Word of God, and through wise counsel. I tell you, talk to your daddies. Talk to your grandpas. They love you and they care. Be careful who you do listen to for counsel on what to do. Not only that, but if you're having trouble making payments and you're having trouble financially to a lender, go to that lender, try to make arrangements for what you can do during this tough time. Can I just pay the interest for right now? If you're in the trap, folks, you're in the trap. Traps are hard to get out of. They're designed by their very nature, very difficult for you to get out of without injuring you forever. Raccoons literally will chew their legs off to get out of a trap. And I've seen people, in fact, I believe in my own personal life, I've pretty near chewed spiritual leg off to get out. Other people die in the traps. Other people are killed in the traps. And I'm going to say something to you. I'd be really careful right now about going into debt. I'd be really, really careful about going into debt. And, some operational capital that you can use maybe, but boy, I mean, be careful about it. Things don't always turn out like you think. I mean, listen, and I don't know why, again, I'm just getting feedback from all kinds of people who are in business saying orders are down, work's down, don't have any jobs. A guy yesterday, he told me, he said, I had a great deal going with Redwood Furniture. He said, all my orders are canceled. They're not selling it. Another guy, he lost a farm I talked to, lost a farm over here in western Missouri. He said, Reggie, I had a wonderful business, made over $1 million selling rocks, believe it or not, landscaping rocks back in the 90s. He said, well, I was making big money and thought I was doing real great, so I went and bought this great big farm, thought, man, we got us a great business going. He said, you know what happened? You can't sell those landscaping rocks to anybody now. No lumber yards are buying them. He said, all orders just went like that. He said, I lost it all. He said, if I would have hunkered down, took the cash that we had, lived by our means, not tried to be great big deal, I'd have been all right. Okay, and I'm telling you this morning, I have no basis to talk to anybody because I've made enough mistakes for all of you, okay? I'm not here to condemn nobody up nothing, and don't you let yourself get self-condemned. We all make mistakes. We all do things we wish we hadn't done. The thing I want you to know is I love you, and I don't want you tore up by things. And whatever we can do to help each other and stand by each other and love each other, I tell you, just knowing somebody cares when you're going through the fire is worth a bunch, amen? Just knowing nobody's not kicking you when you're down is worth a lot. So I want you to, through prayer and wise counsel, determine whether you should liquidate or go on through. There's a time for both. There's been some things that I've done. I said, this is not going to work. The right handwriting was on the wall. It was over with. I took my loss, wrote it off, gone. And let me say something to you about losses. You don't ever recoup them. Don't think like that. You do not recoup losses. If you go out and you lose $500, it's gone. You say, well, I can make $1,000 over here and cover it up. No, no, you just lost $500. That $1,000 you lost, it's gone. Admit it. Come to grips with it. It's gone. Learn from it. Move on down the road. It's not the end of the world. J.C. Penney was a very rich man at about 53 or 54 ages at life. And a man talked him in, several men talked him into some investments. He had a whole bunch of them penny stores. And he went busted broke, brother. A lot of people don't know this. You ought to read his story. J.C. Penney went busted broke after having been a rich man at an age when most people would have given up and quit. You know what he did? He reached down and picked up what was left of his life and learned from the things he had and rebuilt the biggest retail set of stores that had ever been up to that time. And as far as I'm concerned, still a pretty good store. Amen? But anyway, number three, what is God teaching you through this? Let me ask you a question. Has God called you to the ministry? Has God called you to the mission field and you're not going? You're not obeying? And God is weaning you and God is stripping you? You ought to ask yourself that question. I'm going to tell you all a little secret. I can't believe God's going to bring this many young couples into this church and not call some of them into ministry. And I'm going to give you something right now. God calls you into ministry and you surrender to the ministry. You expect me to be the sorriest dog you've ever met. One of the greatest traps young preachers and young people fall into is thinking that everybody else is going to help them along and give them, listen, God calls you and He's going to let you go through it. I fell into that trap and I don't know how many young people I've had that surrendered ministry and they're disappointed and they thought Reggie would help them more than Reggie helped them. Nobody's going to pave the way for you. Nobody's going to pave the way for you. You'll be disappointed in people. God wants you to get towards only Him. But I want to say this to you. It may be that God's trying to ring your bell about some things. What's God teaching you? Number four, are you living above your means? Are you living above your means? Again, are you buying things that you don't need? Are there things that you have that you could sell? I'm going to tell you something. If you've got stuff that you don't have to have, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a $700 bill and you can't pay it, now listen to me. You ain't going to like this. And you've got a four-wheeler worth $2,500 and you really don't have to have that thing, you know what you ought to do? Sell that stupid thing, pay your bill. You say, well, man, I like my four-wheeler. I know. But you can't have everything you like in life. Just the way it works. God wants you to learn discipline. Discipline. Another thing I'm going to tell you something. Organization. You'd be surprised what you've got if you cleaned it all up and organized it and found out what you've got. You might even find out, you know what's amazing? I'm so disorganized, I ain't got a Crescent Ranch. Stop in town, buy a Crescent Ranch. Ben comes out, the organized old place, here's four of them sitting here. That's stupid, amen? Disorganization will cost you so much you can't hardly imagine what disorganization costs you. Be organized. Be organized. Inventory. Know what you have. Know what you don't have. Don't buy things you don't need and sell things that you don't have need. Now listen to me. I had an uncle. He, at one time, I believe Mom was Bob, vice president of Thor Tool Company over in England. I don't know how he ever got there, but he was very wealthy for his time. He was in a hospital one time, and he's talking to me, and he said, Reggie, I'm going to tell you something. You learn this. Don't let stuff sit around that you can't use. Liquidate it. Put it into something that will make money. Amen. He said, people have lost a lot of money by letting stuff deteriorate, rust away, waste away, and they said that he could have took that and made it something that's worthwhile. I'm not smart. I'm just trying to share with you anything I can to encourage you today. I want you to make it. I want you to be a good testimony for Christ. I want you to have some peace and some tranquility. Let me tell you something. I'm a man. If I get into financial trouble, it is like a weight hanging on my neck 24 hours a day. It bugs the life out of me. There's two or three things. Number one, I want to provide for my family. It's an embarrassment to me, and it just hits. It's just a load to me. Second of all, I know it's going to damage the reputation of Jesus Christ if I don't get it taken care of. So please try to stay away from debt. If you're in debt, start figuring a way to liquidate that. If it's a little bit, but a little bit, what God will honor is the direction you head. Again, be sure you're communicating with those that you owe, that you're not running from them, that you need help. You might even go in there and see if they won't write that thing down a little bit. Go in there and see if they'll write the interest rates down. Try to negotiate with them. It's in the Bible. Remember that one guy? He went out there and he said, I owe you this much. What will you take? Wrote it off. Are there things you can live without? Again, sell. Number six, I want to encourage you to do this. Save. Lay up for a rainy day. If you're able to do that at all, lay up some money, lay up some things for a rainy day. Lay some back. Why, our forefathers used to talk about this all the time. Don't live above your means. Save up for a rainy day. But we just don't seem to think, you know, somehow or another we got this attitude that there's no limit to what we can have and what we can buy and what we can do. You know, we can do it all on credit and it's going to kill us. If you heard the conversations of people that I hear nearly every week of my life, you'd know why I'm up here preaching this morning. Because I tell you what, folks, we're a nation that's just sinking in a lifestyle that the Bible just never did promote. Number 7, and I really want to key in on this morning, and I just wrote these things down as God brought to my mind, but I want you to look for opportunity. My daddy has had a saying, and I'm sure it wasn't original with him, but he said, necessity is the mother of invention. If God closes the door for you, don't despair. Understand that most of us will never go through another door unless the door we're in closes. We'll stay right in that thing till it absolutely slams in our face. And many, many people are so thankful down the road of life that a door closed, that didn't happen, that was shut down, that didn't work, so they could go into something, that they found another thing. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that God gives knowledge of witty inventions. And you'd be amazed at how many of God's people across this country are building things, doing things, coming up with ideas that they can make even in their homes and their own shops. I'm telling you something. There are ladies making bread, making things to eat. I'm telling you, Brother Bill tickled me to death back here. Bill, can I? Do you mind me? Is it okay? I'm just amazed because this is right down the line. But believe it or not, the man's making pine caskets. Is that right, Bill? He's designing caskets and making them and selling them. And he's just getting started, and he doesn't know whether it's going to work or not work. But you know what I'm trying to tell you? I'll use this for an example. Tell you, listen, start thinking, what can I do? Is there something that ways opened up? Is there some opportunity I can do? Let me tell you something. My brother Donnie, anyway, ain't no secret. You know, Donnie's done very well. He wouldn't have done it without Jan. I guarantee he'd probably be broke today if he hadn't met Jan and married her. But but Donnie's done very well. But let me tell you something. I'll give you a little story. Donnie built farm fences in 1973. The cattle market crashed. I mean, absolutely crashed. Cattle that was bringing $1.10, bring 30 cents. You're talking about a huge, huge crash. Well, the farmers quit building fences and he's out of work. At that particular time, the telephone company was starting to bury lines and take down the old lines that ran on top. He was sitting down here at this Norwood Cafe with his crew eating dinner, and a guy on strike with the telephone company walked in and talking to how it's doing. Donnie said, they ain't doing no good. So they ain't got no work. The guy said, well, y'all think about tearing down them lines that they're tearing down. They're burying all this line. And he put him in touch with somebody, didn't he, Donnie? And Donnie called him, and they had a job out in Kansas and said, go out there and do it. He borrowed my dad's, now listen to me, borrowed my dad's 420 John Deere tractor, made a PTO reel, bought him some hooks and belts, and headed to Kansas and done their very first job. And that's what got him started into the work that he's doing today. A door closed. And what you would think, boy, I tell you, we ain't got no work. Farm fence is gone. Nobody wants any fences built. Let me tell you something. The things that's going on right now, do you believe this verse? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I just want to encourage you today. Maybe there's many other stories out here that I don't know, but I'm just saying this. I tell you those stories to give you hope. You know what I want to do this morning? My whole goal is to give you some hope that it won't always be as dark as it is today. That there's going to be a way out. That there is on the other side of the clouds, there a sun is shining today. But we've got to live biblically. If we're going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to us. We can't have an inert desire to be rich and that secret motive behind there. We need to learn to be happy and content with what we have. Are there things you can live? Say it. Look for doors of opportunity. Let me say this to you. Learn trades. Learn trades. Learn how to do things you didn't think you might ever have to do. I want to commend Brother Phil Wilson. I think he's turned out to be a genuine hillbilly. He does anything and everything to make a living. He'll drywall. He'll drive a truck. If none of them's working, he heads to the woods with his kids to cut wood. And I tell you, I respect that. And Phil, you're going to make it. What I'm saying is, you know, don't be afraid to get your hands dirty and to work hard. Some of the best things that'll ever be taught your children, your family, is going through those hard times financially together. And I tell you, if it drives you to your knees. If he's out there someday cutting wood and he pulls them boys together and says, boy, set your chainsaw down. Let's pray for God to give us a buyer for this wood. I just want to tell you something. We need to pray. If it drives us to our knees. I've got a saying behind my chair at my desk where I study. Blessed is the storm that drives us to our knees. And my heart just, I don't know, somehow this morning I was there at the house and just like God said, Reggie, comfort my people. Comfort my people. Encourage my people. And I don't care how dark it is. Your problem's not bigger than your God today. And let me say something else to you. If you lose it all, I'm still going to love you. If you lose it all, God's still going to love you. Job lost it all. So, you know, I don't want you to lose it all. It's a sad thing when you think about all the labor and work that you put into it and then you lose it. That's tough, buddy. That's tough. You think I've worked all these years? I poured my heart, worked night and day, and now, you know, trying to get something, maybe lay up for our kids to have something, and here it's gone. It's not easy. But there's some good things can come out of it. I guarantee you'll have a lot more compassion for those that are hurting than you used to have. You'll have a brand new appreciation for God if you don't get bitter. The Lord is pitiful. Always remember Job's latter end. Remember the latter end. See down the road. As I said, learn trades. Learn skills. Get an education. But don't lose your faith in getting an education, because the educational system is designed to cause you to be dependent upon the world and upon yourself, not on God. When I say that, I say there may be things that you need to learn skills by and stuff. But you know what? Right now, listen to me. You can about get any education you want over the internet if you just try. You don't have to go off somewhere and listen to them. You can select the type of teaching that you're going to get. The type of people that you're going to be trained by. You don't have to be sucked under and put up with a bunch of garbage. I'll be honest with you right now, you can go to law school, medical, you can just about do it all. Isn't that right or not? And but learn trades. But pray. And let's be content. And this probably didn't amount to too much this morning, but I've done best I know what God wanted me to do today. Let me tell you a little something. I pull out on the highway and a truck passes me. I don't think like I used to think. You know what I think? There's somebody away from home. There's somebody like to be home, but he's trying to make a living for his family. There's somebody gone from a little old boy, maybe like to see his daddy tonight. And I wished I'd done a better job with this church. I've been here a long time. I wished I'd done a better job teaching, preaching the Word of God, the principles of finances and management and so forth like that. But I just want to encourage you young couples that's got a chance to start off right. Don't plow yourself in debt. Live by your means the best you can. And I suppose I'm done. I'm about to run this deal out. But I love you. And I know that financial things are very personal. But I want to encourage you in the Lord today, okay? And let me tell you, the most precious things that your kids are going to remember is that love that you had in that family. And they're not, it's not buying them trinkets at Walmart that's going to impress them kids. It's the love that was in the family. Amen? If you're disappointed and you came this morning with your bucket and you feel like you're going to leave without anything in your bucket, I'm sorry about that, because I think when you come to church, you ought to have something for you. Amen? But this morning, it was kind of a different deal. I actually had my message. I've got it right here. I was going to preach on Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist. Boy, I was really looking forward to that. It's like God said, no, Reggie, I want you to encourage my people. And I would say this before we go. If you don't have somebody you can go to for wise counsel, there's some men in this church that have been down the road. And they've got some sense. I mean, I'm looking at them right back through here. If I was a young man and I didn't have my daddy, I'd tell you, I'd go see Les McAllister. I'd say, Les, this is what my situation is. I'd like your wisdom and counsel on it. I'd go see Brother Wayne or Brother Marvin, Brother... Good grief. I'm like Donnie now. Was this Donnie spell up here? Charlie? You know, go see some of these men. Ask them for some wisdom. Ask them for some direction. Listen, because you know what you can do? You can get up against the wall where you got to make a choice. Something's got to happen. And be proactive. Be proactive. Don't get so, tell you what, Satan can so freeze you with fear and worry that you just sit there and you're just floating down to the falls. And so be proactive. Seek the Lord in prayer. I would tell you, fast. And you set your heart fully to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what God will do. God will write a wonderful chapter in your life, even through hard financial times. The other part about it is I want it to be preventive. I want you young couples, live by your means. Live by your means. Don't buy stuff you don't have to have. Lay up some for a rainy day. Don't be afraid to take a risk. This is America, amen? Don't be afraid to take a risk, but make sure the risk has its values to it. You've weighed it up good. You've counted the cost. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to have a season of prayer. We're going to close this service. I want us to have a season of prayer. And it's let me tell you something. Get over your pride. And I know nobody has to know your business. But I would think it'd be appropriate this morning if we'd find a place to pray. I would encourage families to come all over the front of this church and just kneel together as a family. There is power in family prayer. Brother, when you can get your kids to praying, you got something rolling. I never will forget. Boy, this is one of the most personal things ever happened to me in my life. How many knows that Susanna and I kind of got a little bit something special? I mean, my kids are everyone. I don't love her an ounce more than I love anybody else. But she came along at a time in my life, and God gave her the something. I was going through one of the most depressing times of my life. I was sick. I was having trouble financially. And just, you know, I mean, everything was south and sour. And that one of the lowest points of my life, she came over to me. I was sitting in a chair, and she said, Daddy, I'll pray for you. And she prayed for me. Whew! You know, there wasn't nothing. All hell couldn't stop me then, Kenny. All hell couldn't stop me then, John. And let me tell you something I learned. The little children, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, strength. Teach your children to pray. I'm glad she knew the worth of prayer as a little girl. And Susanna, don't you ever forget that. You pray when you come up against the walls of life. But I would like to encourage you today of your family. And I'll tell you something, I'd like to see family groups pray. Wouldn't hurt nothing at all. Maybe you want to go pray with your daddy and your mama or your uncle, something like that. And just say, pray for us. We're going through a difficult time right now. Just be in prayer for us. You know, God just wants to bring us to the place of where we know we need Him. Amen? And He did say to you, didn't He? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I know we ain't going to live in utopia and everything's lovely and everything's great. And I know some of you've got some hospital bills and things. Let's have a time of prayer today. And I'd like for family groups, if you could, let's just fill up. And maybe you want to get your family and your kids and bring them around up to front or find some place to pray. You know what? Let's don't be so proud in this church that we can't pray for God to help us. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for grace. Let's pray for miracles. I want to tell you all something. If God ever gives me liberty to write a book on our family, you'll read about miracles. And my kids know. My kids know that they've seen the hand of God. And I just want to encourage you. Hold those potatoes like it all depended on you. But always remember that unless God blesses them, the potatoes will never come. Yeah. Amen? If you're going to pray for potatoes, you pray with a hoe in your hand. Got me? God, I'm telling you what, I believe God delights in blessing and helping. His people. I'm going to tell you, you've got a good God today, and He's not forsaken you, and He's going to take you through. All righty? So let's come today, those that want to. I mean, you just do what you want to do. You're totally at liberty to pray.